बंदे रूप सनातन रघु जग श्री जीव गोपाल को
King Prithu was dependent on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is known
so one,
as...
One quick point. The previous one we were discussing about Lord being Yajna Purusha, and unless he is satisfied, you know, all the necessities of life will not be fulfilled. Correct, no? Although this point is stressed by Srila Prabhupada several times in his purports in many places, it doesn't register in our mind very deeply. Now, when I say it doesn't register very deeply, means what? For example, one day, imagine you go to kitchen and they say, today there is no breakfast. Today directly 1 o'clock. And you may ask, Prabhu, is it fasting till noon? No, nothing like that. You know, there is no festival or anything. We just thought, why to cook in the morning, we'll cook in the afternoon. So, imagine you are coming and sitting in Bhagavatam class without morning prasad. So how many of you feel we can have a solid realization of missing the breakfast? Correct, no? So do we get that much deep realization of Lord missing the yajna? That we are not offering yajna for Him, so all of our necessities will not be fulfilled. So pranopaharat chaitendriyanam tataiva sarvarhanam achyutejya. That verse says, you know, like putting food in the belly satisfies all the limbs of the body. Huh? Similarly, unless Krishna is first satisfied, only then, you know, all jivas will be satisfied. This remains a theory for us. It remains very theoretical. It doesn't become a very tangible reality due to the enjoying mentality that is deep-seated in our conditioned stage. So, and also we all know very well, Prabhupada, whenever there is yajna talk, Prabhupada will say, we should do sankirtana yajna. Because this is Kali Yuga. That also I have heard. We have become so routinely used to these purports. That we take it for granted whenever it comes. It doesn't register in us very deeply that actually without giving the Lord, you know, we will... Actually, first, all the natural items which are producing, whether rivers or oceans or trees or mountains, and they are all producing for Lord's pleasure. First, that itself is a very deep realization. Because human beings think that everything is there in nature for us to enjoy. Like one Christian boy was asking Prabhupada, that Swamiji, in Bible it is said that animals are inferior to men and they are meant for the men. Like that it is said. Prabhupada said, yes, they are meant for you to serve you, like a horse is supposed to be used as a horse cart. You know? Or a bull can be used for ploughing. So they are meant to be used by men, but not eaten by men. You are not supposed to exploit. Like imagine if a father tells a boy, Beta, this is your younger brother, keep him in your custody. So your elder brother cannot cut him into pieces and cook breakfast and eat. Correct, no? He is supposed to care for him, like the Prabhupada said. In the same manner, the Shastras say that all the natural items are produced for Lord Vishnu's pleasure. And anyone who takes it, bhungte sthena eva saha. What is that verse? Ishtan bo ganhi bo deva dasyante yajna bhavitaha tairdattana pradayaibhyo yo bhungte sthena eva saha. If anybody without offering yajna to Lord accepts any of these items, like once Bhaksan Saraswati Thakur is a small kid, he ate a mango which was not offered. So his father asked him, how can you ever eat it? On that day, he stopped eating mangoes, correct, no? From that day, because he took it so seriously that Krishna has not tasted it, but I have tasted, so it is sin, so I will not eat it again, like that. So, therefore, I was spending some time in that purport about how Lord is great. He is Ajnapati, he is Shripatir, he is Dharapati, he is Dhyampati, he is Prajapati, and he is the Pati of Patim Patinam. He is actually the master who is a pivotal personality in the whole creation. Although we can't see him, he is seeing us at every moment. Therefore, he has to be satisfied. And this truth had become deeply entered into the heart of Prithu. Therefore, Prithu was Krishna-centered in his heart. Whereas Indra was eye-centered. You see? See, when one is eye-centered, one's attention is mostly on my food, my sleep, my comforts, my luxuries. Whereas one is Krishna-centered, how to make a nice bedding for Krishna, how to put him to sleep, how to wake him up, how to feed him nice bhoga, how to serve him. Then, so Prithu Maharaj was always there. Therefore, because Prithu was offering these yajnas with great devotion, Lord Vishnu appeared in that sacrifice. It is mentioned along with all his associates. Correct, no? Yeah. So that was the point that... See, it says here, satisfy Yajna Purusha and see yourself that all your necessities are fulfilled. Actually, in this there are two components. Making sure that Lord Vishnu is pleased. And then second thing is that I get my benefits, namely rains, sunlight, wind, you know, and gold, silver, navaratnas, everything I get. So a devotee's focus is out of the two, which one? Satisfying Lord Vishnu. Correct. And the demigod worshippers, mostly their focus is on which out of the two? If you tell a demigod worshipper that if you do yajna, Lord Vishnu will be very pleased, and when he is pleased, these items will come through nature and you can take. So which, where will be their attention? Items they get. And they will miss out the first one. What is the first one? I forgot. They will say, what is it? What is the first one? Satisfaction of Vishnu. They will say, okay, when you do yajna, Vishnu is satisfied, that is all right. But what we will get? So that Indra's attention is on what I will get. Whereas Prithu's attention is on the first one. How Vishnu will be pleased. Correct, no? So therefore these two personalities are two different. Two different personalities. So we have to decide, where am I? Am I in Indra consciousness or Prithu consciousness? If I am Prithu conscious, that means if I am in Prithu's type of consciousness, I am Krishna conscious. Correct, no? Otherwise I am commodity conscious. Correct, you see. Therefore, one should recognize Lord Vishnu as the Yajna Purusha, for whom the nature is creating all these wonderful things. Even our talents are also there in us to be used for His service only. Like right now I am speaking on Bhagavatam, preaching, going here, going there. Imagine if I were not in ISKCON, then I would be wasting my human form of life and energy in serving some material company. To whom I would shell out all my time and energy and everything for someone else. Correct, no? So the talent is actually given to us so that we can use it in glorification of the Lord. In the same manner, all living entities, whatever skills, talents they have, it's meant for His pleasure only. That also Bhagavatam mentions. So let us proceed to 12th verse. The reason I was speaking all this is because you know the story of that man. Once he purchased some puffed rice from the market, and he wanted to immediately pop in his mouth. He wanted to eat it immediately. But as soon as he... popcorn or puffed rice, something he purchased. So when he kept in, when he was about to eat it, suddenly a wind blew. When the wind blew, some of the popcorn started flying. So what he said? Oh, Govindayanama, he said, whatever flew off. So, because anyway it is flying off, I can't eat it now. So he said, Govindayanama, he said. So, he was more conscious of his own eating, and he forgot to offer to Lord. And Lord Lord thought he has forgotten to offer. Let me take it. And Lord took it. Then he said, go with anima. Similarly, in this world, there is a tendency for us to enjoy first, even before. That enjoyment mentality is very deep-rooted in every act we do from the morning to night. So therefore, we have to consciously remember. So therefore, sometimes you find gurus, sannyasis and all, one of the reasons they travel with some deity they take with them. Although they are the busiest people. You can see their life, how tied up it is, how busy it is. But they take out some time for puja, you know, for dressing the Lord and offering some bhoga to Him and bowing down to Him. The great souls are already great, but they keep still reminding themselves of how I am servant, Lord is master and He is the enjoyer. So we have to have ways to remind ourselves of this truth. Then we can gradually grow towards from Indra's platform to Prithu's platform. We can grow in our Krishna consciousness. So come to the 12th verse. Tam atrir bhagavan ekshat twaramanam vihayasa amuktam iva pakhandam Yo adharme dharma vibramaha. Yeah, translation.
When King Indra was taking away the horse, he dressed himself to appear as a liberated person. Actually, this dress was a form of cheating, for it falsely created an impression of religion. When Indra went into outer space in this way, the great sage Atri saw him and understood the whole situation.
Yeah. Purport?
The word pakhanda used in this word is sometimes pronounced pashanda. Both of these words indicate an impostor who presents himself as a very religious person, but in actuality is sinful. Indra took up the saffron-colored dress as a way of cheating others. This saffron dress has been misused by many impostors who present themselves as liberated persons or incarnations of God. In this way, people are cheated.
Yeah. And then he's saying that the conditioned soul has a tendency to cheat, and now Indra is also cheating like that. Amuktam. Amuktam means as if he was liberated, he looked like that. The saffron dress worn by Sannyasi announces to the world that he has renounced all worldly affairs and is simply engaged in the service of the Lord. He says, so why Indra adopted saffron dress? What is the reason? Why? Yes? Nobody will doubt him. The people have respect for saffron order. So he wanted to draw the faith of people in him. People, and this is one of the reasons why sometimes even beggars also wear this dress. And they sit outside a temple with a begging bowl. People see maybe he's some sadhu. In dhams also, when you go, you find some fellows wearing saffron and smoking a bidi also. They have long, long hair. You've seen that? People, different kinds of, they beg alms. So they are actually called parasites. Parasites means they live on other people by begging money from them, or begging food from them, smoking bidi, and just living out their life without having any goal of life. They don't know one word of the scripture also, many people. Pakhandam, Pashandi. So, here the Pashandi actually, Prabhupada says, is an imposter. Imposter means he's a cheater. So, many people use this as a profession to either make money by posing like a sadhu, or many people use it to invite the faith of people in them. So they will have many followers. Some people do it for followers. You will find in Shastra itself, Ravana comes in the form of a mendicant to... he knows very well, Sita has a soft corner for sadhus. And what is a soft corner? Sita is like a mother. When she sees saintly people, she wants to give charity. She wants to give fruits, some eatables. And she feels great joy. In the Vedic times, the sadhus would go to the homes of the people and ask for Bhavadi Bhikshandehi, And then any mother at home will come with some alms and then give alms. So when Ravana came, that's what Sita thought. Oh, here is a saintly person in the jungle, and he has come to take some alms from me. So she was very innocent, and Ravana's whole idea was to use that dress to cheat her so he can carry her away to Lanka. Correct, no? Similarly, you will find here Indra is doing a similar kind of cheating. That is one story you might have read probably in Krishna book, where Arjuna wore a saffron dress once. I think it was Chaturmas month time or something, Krishna had taken Arjuna with him, and Krishna told him that now I will take you to the place where Balram is there with his sister Subhadra. So, and then he told about Subhadra, and Krishna said, my desire is to see that Subhadra marries you. I want to give her in marriage to you. But Balramji has another desire. He wants to give Subhadra in marriage to Duryodhana. So before Balramji can do that, I will arrange. So Arjuna said, so whatever pleases you, Krishna, I will do it. And Krishna said, you don a saffron dress. Saffron, why? He said, Balramji is highly respectful to sadhus. So you put up a saffron dress and then visit. And then when you visit Balramji, you will also get to see Subhadra. And then I want Subhadra to also see you, who you are. And then after she sees, then I will ask her whether she is happy to marry you. If she says yes, then I will arrange the marriage. Otherwise, if you go like a warrior to meet Balramji, And if Subhadra looks at you, then Balaramji will doubt, what am I doing? You know? So, Arjuna was shocked, what is this new thing? Huh? Okay, I am like a puppet in your hands. Whatever you tell me, I will do it. Actually, see Arjuna, although he was agreeable to Krishna, he still went to Yudhishthira Maharaj and asked Yudhishthira, Krishna is telling me to do like this, should I do or not? Because he is the eldest brother, no? And Yudhishthira also gave permission. Do you can imagine? Huh? Yudhishthira Maharaj is not known for such things. Huh? So therefore, this is a pastime. Huh? This is Krishna's pastime. So Arjuna went like, as soon as Balaramji saw the sadhu, oh, welcome, welcome, please come to our home. Please sit, you stay here for a few days. Take prasad, hey, Subhadra, get prasad. Subhadra was serving. At that time, this fellow saw Subhadra. And Subhadra already had heard a lot about Arjuna before. She wanted to marry. So later on, Krishna had told Arjuna to carry away, kidnap Subhadra. Like the way Krishna kidnapped Rukmini. So this pastime is not condemnable pastime because this is performed under the order of Lord Himself, Krishna Himself, and with permission of Yudhishthira Maharaj. Huh? That's a great personality. So we cannot condemn Arjuna, who is only a nimitta in this particular pastime. Whereas in other places, like you find Ravana becoming a mendicant, who else put a pretense of a sadhu? There is one more example. Where? Of course, he didn't come as a sadhu, he came as a cat or something. Of course, he came in disguise looking like Gautama Rishi. He came. So you will find people using this saffron dress as an opportunity for their material desires, for fulfilling their material desires, material enjoyment. So a very, very abominable thing that is. So therefore, it is condemned here. And the meaning and misuse, I have written both. Meaning Prabhupada gives here. The meaning of saffron is, one has renounced the world, all the worldly affairs, and simply engaged in service of the Lord. Actually, when you wear white dress, it represents purity. When you wear yellow dress, it represents sanctity or holiness. When you wear saffron dress, it's like entering into fire. That means, imagine if somebody enters into fire, the whole body will be burnt. Similarly, our material life is burnt away. We only have spiritual activities. We do. All our limbs of our body should be used only for spiritual activities. So, sat nyas means what? Sat ke liye sat yagana. That's called sannyas, we call it. Krishna says in the 6th chapter, in the 1st verse, anashita karma phalam karyam karma karoti yaha sasanyasi cha yogi cha na niragnir na chakriyaha. A sannyasi is not a lazy bum, he is not a parasite, he is a very active worker. But he works only for the pleasure of the Supreme Lord. His body, every limb of his body, every sense of his body is only for Lord's service. And here, that means a sannyasi should have given up the proclivity for material enjoyment. That tendency itself should be given up completely. So, in the later verses also, it will come, more information will come about this. And then the next para, if you go read the next para. In other words, one who offers the results of his activity, Supreme Personality of Godhead, is actually called a sannyasi or a yogi. And then?
Cheating sannyasis and yogis have existed since the time of Prithu Maharaj's sacrifice. This cheating was very foolishly introduced by King Indra. In some ages, such cheating is very prominent, and in other ages, not so prominent. It is the duty of a sannyasi to be very cautious because, as stated by Lord Chaitanya, sannyasira alpa chidra sarva loka gai. A little spot in a sannyasi's character will be magnified by the public. CC Madhya 12.51. Therefore, unless one is very sincere and serious, he should not take up the order of sannyas. One should not use this order as a means to cheat the public. It is better not to take up sannyas in this age of Kali because provocations are very strong in this age. Only a very exalted person advanced in spiritual understanding should attempt to take up sannyas. One should not adopt this order as a means of livelihood or for some material purpose.
Yeah. So that is the next point I have written. Caution for sannyas. So Prabhupada says here, one should not take up, it's better not to take up sannyas in this age of Kali, because the provocations are very strong in this age, he says. So one reason Prabhupada says why people take sannyas is to just relax, and they don't have to work hard, and they are lazy. So they may think that if I accept this order, then I can just eat and sleep. And in Prabhupada's times, once Prabhupada asked how many people are in the queue for sannyas, they said 25 are waiting. Prabhupada said, how so many fellows are there? What is the reason for their wanting to take sannyas? They said, Prabhupada, Mahaprasad, they said. You know, Mahaprasad, as soon as it comes out of the altar, first it should go to sannyasi first. And then sannyasi will take whatever he wants, and then it will go to other people. And Prabhupada said, this is not the goal of sannyas. You see, sannyasi means you go out and preach. And sannyasi should be renounced. They should eat very meager. They should sleep meager. We say, no, nidra, ahara, vihara, kadi, vijitau. They should conquer the propensity for eating a lot and sleeping a lot. They have to give up laziness. They have to be very hardworking. So then Prabhupada said, restrict into conduct interview and don't send everybody for sannyas. And also, or somebody may take sannyas because they get a lot of respect. Everybody will fall on the ground. Somebody thinks, hey, now people are not respecting me. I will take a danda and show the danda. Everybody will bow down. You know, I use the danda to bow down people. You know, wanting respect from others. One may be greedy. So sannyas should not be taken for earning respect or earning Mahaprasad. Material purposes. Or one should not take sannyas and have dubious character. Dubious character means what? One should not handle money or woman improperly after having taken sannyas. There should be, like there's a saying in English, Caesar's wife must be above suspicion. Which means nobody should be able to even suspect that there is some hole in this fellow's character. Like for example, there are crorepatis who may sometimes say that I want to give you personal money only for you. You know? So somebody may keep some pocket, some personal money. Or somebody may give a land in your name. Somebody may be ready to make you a guru in their village, make your murti also there. And village people have blind faith. They will make your murti and they will make you a guru and they will give a land in your name. So if somebody gets into those allurements, then he cannot be a part of this institution. Correct, no? And people have fallen for all these things. They have fallen for these things. Name, fame, glory, land, money. Or having some doubtful relationship with some woman. So these are absolutely prohibited. You know the pastime when in Jagannath Puri, when one small beautiful boy came and used to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu every day. He was very handsome. His eyes were very big, like lotus petals, curly hair. So Mahaprabhu used to embrace him and keep him on his lap because Mahaprabhu was reminded of Krishna whenever he saw him. So he was a beautiful child. But then Damodar Pandit noticed it and he warned Mahaprabhu that how is it that you are showing extra affection to this child? A sannyasi should be equal to all. You can't show any extra affection to the child. And Mahaprabhu said, but when I look at him, I remember Krishna. He reminds me of Krishna. But he said, it's very dangerous for you. And then he asked why. He said, see, the boy's mother is standing at the door whenever she brings him. So Mahaprabhu said, so what? What will people think? He said, what will people think? I can't understand. He said, people will connect you and her because she is very beautiful also. You are indirectly showing affection to the boy, but you are actually showing affection to whom? To her. Like that people will think. He said, my Lord, Mahaprabhu was shocked. That never came to my mind. Mahaprabhu was very innocent. So he said, okay, Damodar, if you feel like this, then we will not entertain this boy anymore. Tell him not to come. And the next day onwards, the child didn't come afterwards. Later on, Mahaprabhu's behavior is very mystical and extraordinary. On one hand, he accepted the suggestion of Damodar Pandit. On the other hand, he scolded Damodar Pandit. You are a brahmachari and you can find fault in sannyasis also. He said, now you go to Jagannathpur, you go to Mayapur. You stay in Navadvip. Like that, he said. So he went to Navadvip and stayed there for some time. But Mahaprabhu also did take the lesson. So the brahmachari's behavior, habits should be beyond suspicion. By if he is, one is wearing saffron. When you become a saffron devotee, you get a lot of money in your travels. Many people give. If one is talking a lot of money, thinking that I'll put it in this bank, that bank, or keeping separate bank account, all these things are prohibited in an organization. So one should know that saffron itself is like fire. One should completely renounce satnyas. Sannimitte varam tyago vinashe niyate sati. This is by Chanakya, says that satnimitte varam tyago, that is sannyas. When we give up everything for the... You have seen in the Gurudwara and all, they sing a song, Satnam, Satnam, they sing. Sat means absolute truth. So nyas means giving up everything for the pleasure of absolute truth, Krishna. So from Indra's behavior, we learn that, we are given a caution, warning that... And sanya, actually, he was wearing sannyas dress to earn the faith of a son of Prithu. Prithu's son brought the bow and arrow to kill, but then Indra stole the horse away, but he changed the dress. So that by seeing the saffron dress, he will not get killed. So this way he was trying to cheat. Let's go ahead. Read. See now, after 12, you can read many translations. Go read ahead, 13 onwards. When son of King Prithu was informed by Atri of King Indra's trick, he immediately became very angry and followed Indra to kill him, calling, "Wait, wait!" Like that he said. Son of Prithu, what's his name? No, Vijitashva was given later. His name was Ajita, I think, is it? What is his name is not mentioned here? First, Atri is understanding the whole situation. It just says Indra's son. Let us see what it says further. Read further.
King Indra was fraudulently dressed as a sannyasi, having knotted his hair on his head and speared ashes all over his body. Upon seeing such dress, the son of King Prithu considered Indra as a religious man and pious sannyasi. Therefore, he did not release his arrows. When Atri Muni saw that the son of King Prithu did not kill Indra, but returned deceived by him, Atri Muni again instructed him to kill the heavenly king because he thought that Indra had become the lowliest of all demigods due to his impeding the execution of King Prithu's sacrifice.
Go ahead.
Being thus informed, the grandson of King Vena immediately began to follow Indra, who was fleeing through the sky in great haste. He was very angry with him and he chased him just as the king of vultures chased Ravana. When Indra saw that the son of Prithu was chasing him, he immediately abandoned his false dress and...
Who was the king of vultures who chased Ravana? Jatayu, yeah. Like Jatayu chased Ravana, like that? Son of Prithu chased Indra. Yes?
When Indra saw that the son of Prithu was chasing him, he immediately abandoned his false dress and left the horse. Indeed, he disappeared from that very spot, and the great hero, the son of Maharaj Prithu, returned the horse to his father's sacrificial arena. My dear Lord Vidura, when the great sages observed the wondrous power prowess of the son of King Prithu, they all agreed to give him the name Vijitashva.
Yeah, Vijita means conqueror, Ashva means horse. Vijitashva means one who conquered the horse and brought it back. So Vijitashva, yes. Read further.
My dear Vidur, Indra, being the king of heaven and very powerful, immediately brought a dense darkness upon the sacrificial arena. Covering the whole scene in this way, he again took away the horse, which was chained with golden shackles near the wooden instrument where animals were sacrificed. The great sage Atri again pointed out to the son of King Prithu that Indra was fleeing through the sky. The great hero, the son of Prithu, chased him again. But when he saw that Indra was carrying in his hand a staff with a skull at the top.
Kapalika sannyasi. So there was a staff like this and then a kapala in the top. And again he was wearing a sannyasi dress. So when Vijitashva saw that, he was shocked. Again this looks like another sannyasi. Is he Indra or is sannyasi? By mistake I should not kill somebody. See, if Indra was in Indra's form, he would have immediately attacked him. But when he's in sannyasi form, maybe it is somebody else. So Vichitrashoka was always giving benefit of doubt. Yes.
With a skull at the top and was again wearing the dress of a sannyasi, he still chose not to kill him. When the great sage Atri again gave directions, the son of King Prithu became very angry and placed an arrow on his bow. Upon seeing this, King Indra immediately abandoned the false dress of a sannyasi and giving up the horse made himself invisible.
See, there is one story Bhaktisarasa Thakur says. In one village, one chore, one thief used to come, and every day he would steal from different house. Somebody found that their mobiles are missing. Somebody found, whatever costly items they would keep at home. He stole radio from somebody's house, somebody's mobile from somebody's house, sometimes the vessels from somebody's house. Every day something was missing like that. So all the villagers came together for a meeting and they said, surely somebody is coming here at our homes and you have to find out. And if somebody is stealing, we should not catch him immediately, because you have to find out where is he going to stalk them. Somewhere he is stalking. So in that place, all our belongings may be there. So we should find out, they were saying. So one night some of them are awake, and then one fellow came, and that fellow thief came and he stole. And he was going towards the forest, so some people followed him. And then he went to a particular tree, and behind that there was a bush where he used to hide all the items in one place so that later on he can take it. So when people came, he understood that a big crowd is following him behind. So he ran and all the people also ran. So now the thief thought, are a big mob is behind me, and they catch me, they will beat me to dust practically. They will stone me and kill me practically. So what to do? So at one point of time, somehow he hid behind some tree or something, and people ran ahead shouting, pakado, pakado, mara, mara, they were shouting. So he also was shouting, pakado, pakado, mara, mara, along with all the people. And then they were all asking, where the thief, where the thief? So one fellow was coming from the opposite side, and the thief said, that fellow is the thief. And then all the people went to catch him. So Bhaktisarasa Thakur says, Choruko chode, nasaduko bande, teri kaliyuga tamasha. Like that one song says. What he is saying, in Kali Yuga, the religious people are glorified as very great sadhus. You will see that. And the real sadhus are seen as hypocrites or cheaters many times. Like people sometimes say, what is this? You people are so commercial. Why are you making such a big Govindas? One man asked. So some people brought him to me. I asked, you are saying that we are making big money making Govindas. Do you eat here or not? I eat here, he said. For you only I made Govindas. I said. Similarly, somebody asked, why do you make such a big gift stall? I said, every penny that you give in the gift stall goes to service of Radha Vrindavan Chandra. Nobody eats that money. We are not like a shopping mall making money and gratifying our senses. Once Prabhupada asked a man, do you think we are taking your money and drinking and smoking here in our sansa, in our organization? It's all going for Lord's service. So sometimes you do good work, people raise eyebrows and find fault with you. On the other hand, there are many bogus so-called sadhus in the modern times who are making millions of dollars, if you see. They make courses for the college students where 2,500, 2,000, one student has to pay. And they make a lot of money and there is nobody talking about their bad activities. So, in the same manner, what happened to Indra? Indra would steal the horse and then he would change the veshbush into a sannyasi. So he looked like a sadhu. Immediately Vijitasho would become frightened. Should I attack him or not? Vijitasho would become weakened in his determination to attack because he would see the sadhu's dress. Therefore, sometimes in our temple also, some outside people, they wear tilak. And then they see Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, they will say. And their eyes are always on costly chapels. Like I put one chapel here, right outside this hall. One fellow wore a tilak and he came and he took the chapel and went away. So now we found in the camera also, who is the fellow? But he never came back. They are not able to find him. So you will find, why that fellow wears a tilak? Nobody? Nobody will doubt him. Correct? No, nobody will doubt him because you look like a devotee, you know. I am also one of you and I am also saying what? Hare Krishna. So you will treat him like that. It's like a black sheep, we call it. In a herd of white sheep, there is a black sheep. Just like Krishna located Vatsasur. Correct, no? Vatsasur looked like a very... That calf was a demon. Although he looks like a sweet calf. Huh? So, you know what that calf represents? Vatsasur, do you know that? Krishna caught hold of the calf and whirled it, zoom, 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 and he killed that Vatsasura. That Vatsasura talks, Vatsasura represents, Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur says, in our teenage, some bad habits come. Secret bad habits that come in teenage. That represents Vatsasura. They look like simple bad habits, but eventually they will become very complicated. Like for example, a teenage boy keeping a teenage girlfriend, huh? Looks like a very innocent, you know, mistake, innocent habit, but it can become very complicated in future. So therefore, juvenile delinquency, we call it in English, teenage bad habit. So that represents Vatsasura. So Vatsasura actually was a pretender. He's a pretender demon who came like a Vatsa, like a calf. Similarly, this Indra is pretending to be like a good sadhu, you see. Read further, 22.
Then the great hero Vijitashva, the son of King Prithu, again took the horse and returned to his father's sacrificial arena. Since that time, certain men with a poor fund of knowledge have adopted the dress of a false sannyasi. Yeah. It was King Indra who introduced this.
Yeah. And Prabhupada writes in the purport there, you know. So from here onwards, see, 22 to 25, Pakanti Sannyasi, Prabhupada explains. Although Shankaracharya introduced the Ekadanti Sannyasi, later on, a type of pseudo-sannyasi was introduced by Indra when he tried to hide himself from the attack of Vijitashva, the great son of King Prithu. Now there are many different types of sannyasis. Some of them go naked. They are called Nangababas. Yeah, Nagababas. Yeah. Some of them carry a skull and a trident. They are called Kapalika Babas. Yeah. Generally known as Kapalika. And they were all introduced under some meaningless circumstances. And those who have a poor fund of knowledge accept these false sannyasis and their pretenses. Although they are not bona fide guides to spiritual advancement. Our Sriram Prabhu was telling, when he was in the troop of Nagababas before becoming a devotee, you know. So, yeah. Later on he came to Kumbh Mela, he met the devotees and got connected. So, but he was telling that those fellows used to smoke bidi, watch TV, do all kinds of things. He said there was no Bhagavatam class every day, regularly. There was no classes. There was no knowledge. One thing they would do is to, you know, get rice on donation and make some khichdi and distribute. That's one good activity they would do. That was also not prasadam. It was like annadan kind of thing. But otherwise, he said there was no spiritual discussion, knowledge transmission, nothing. So these people, they indulge in all forbidden activities. Prabhupada is saying, the sinful activities forbidden by shastras are illicit sex, intoxication, meat eating, gambling. These so-called sannyasis indulge in all these activities. They eat meat and flesh, fish, eggs, and just about everything. They sometimes drink with the excuse that without alcohol and fish and meat, it's impossible to remain in the cold countries near the Arctic zone. These sannyasis introduce all these sinful activities in the name of serving poor, and consequently, poor animals are cut to pieces and go into the bellies of these sannyasis. And Prabhupada is saying, these are all such sannyasis are called pakhandis. And in 23, a little more information Prabhupada gives in 23. In the fourth line, he is saying, at the present moment, many so-called sannyasis are mendicants have no understanding of God consciousness. Such sannyas was introduced by Indra because of his jealousy of Maharaj Prithu. And what he introduced in again appearing in the age of Kali, practically none of the sannyasis in this age are bona fide. No one can introduce any new system into the Vedic life. If one does so out of malice, you know, he's a Pashandi, he says. See, below Prabhupada is writing, although it is forbidden, there are many Pashandis who coin terms like Daridra Narayana, Swami Narayana. Although not even such demigods as Brahma and Shiva can be equal to Narayana. He's saying. Although Swami Narayana people are Vaishnavas, they are an extension of Ramanandi Sampradaya. The kind of respect they started giving to that Nilakant in their parampara, whom later on they called the Nilakanta Swami Narayan. So they have made him like Narayan only, like God. In their organization, they worship him in the front, you know. And then Radha Krishna are on the side, and Shiva Parvati are on the side. So sometimes the highlight for a guru becomes very prominent, just like our Shirdi Sai Baba also. Correct, no? He is telling, Sabka Malik Ek, he is saying. And he doesn't say, Oh, Ek Wala Malik Mahi Hoon. He doesn't say that. Sabka Malik Ek. So they are not talking about the Malik, they are talking about this fellow only, always. Correct, no? Baba, 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 Sai Baba. So many times they talk, so many Leelas of Baba. Huh? But they never talk about Krishna. Although he himself talks about Krishna. But they don't talk. So they make man into God. That's what Prabhupada is saying. So they are Pakanti Sampradaya. And then in the 24 also, see in the translation, read it.
In this way, King Indra, in order to steal the horse from King Prithu's sacrifice, adopted several orders of sannyas. Some sannyasis go naked and sometimes they wear red garments and pass under the name of Kapalika. These are simply symbolic representations of their sinful activities. These so-called sannyasis are very much appreciated by sinful men because they are all godless athis and very expert in putting forward arguments and reasons to support their case. We must know, however, that they are only passing as adherents of religion and are not so in fact. Unfortunately, bewildered persons accept them as religious, and being attracted to them, they spoil their life.
Yeah. So, now what is the reason we are spending so much time on reading about all these Pakhandi sannyasis? This should give us inspiration to preach very vigorously. Because if we don't go to preach, so many of these kinds of people are ruining the public. If you go to Kumbh Mela, you will see one of these Naga Babas have thousands and thousands of followers in different places. They keep their photo, they worship them without even any knowledge of who they are and what spiritual activities they do. People have blind faith in Babas. Like that, many... In India, people put a lot of blind faith in villages and other people. People are very innocent and their innocence is being exploited. And instead of chanting Lord's names, they are chanting some Baba's names, if you see like that. So that is one great... And also these Babas teach people sometimes that God is Nirakar and you merge in God, you are only God and all that. So it's a very unfortunate thing. So whenever we read these kind of sections like Brahma's blood is boiling, when Brahma is seeing this, my Lord... This fellow is creating so many apasampradayas, you know, Kapalika and different type of apasampradayas. So Brahma is worrying. Why Brahma is worrying? It's meaningful because Brahma is the father, is like the father for all the jivas in this world. And he is worrying that, you know, all jivas have to go back to Godhead and I am giving Vedas for them. And this fellow is coming and spoiling the jivas and drawing them to a wrong direction. Correct, no? When people go to follow this type of sannyasis, they will not study the Vedic literature in parampara. Correct, no? So, Prabhupada also sometimes seems to be very strong when he writes about following parampara. This is the main reason. When he went to the West also, very strongly he said, the knowledge should come in parampara, otherwise it's bogus. Very strongly he said. So, this is the main reason. So, yeah, let us read the 26. You read it?
Maharaj Prithu, who was celebrated as a very powerful, immediately took up his bow and arrows and prepared to kill Indra himself because Indra had introduced such irregular sannyas orders.
Now the father thought, Prithu thought, my son is too lenient, he is too timid and he is not able to understand the situation swiftly. And Indra is taking the horse again and again and my sacrifice is stopped because of this one thing. So he said, I will take the charge in my hands now. I will personally go and attack Indra and finish him and come back. Once and for all, I will bring the horse and then he will never be able to take. So, Prabhupada writes in the purport, it's the duty of the king not to tolerate introduction of any religious system. Please read the theme.
Results of not cutting down irreligion.
When you don't cut down religion, what all happens? You will see, like here is an example of religion. When the religion is spread that, then people will not understand who God is. They will follow false incarnations. Correct, no? Nowadays you find so many false incarnations. So people follow, and then like Prabhupada says, Andha yatandair upaniyamanas tepishatantriyam urundabni madai. He says, you know, blind following the blind, all falling into ditch. Correct, no? That is one thing will happen. Anything else you tell me? What is the... If you don't cut down false religions and you don't preach the right thing, what else can happen? People will not come to know the truth. They will not study the proper Shastra. Like for example, this Rajneesh, his books are also sold in the trains. Sambhog Se Samadhi. A big daddy wala. And he has his photo. He is like a hero. He is intellectual. These people are called perverted genius. Perverted genius means they have great intelligence, but they are mischievous fellows. You heard of Kushwant Singh, you heard? See, he writes Kushwant Singh jokes, but jokes are all, you know, notorious jokes actually. If you see, he will criticize politicians, criticize religious people. So they are very intelligent jokes. He will, similarly, these kind of people, they write, if you see Rajneesh, one shloka you will not find in his book anywhere. Because everything is from his own 200 gram of grey matter. Speculation, fully. Filled with speculation, but the speculation is very intelligent speculation. See, sometimes the speculation is very intelligent. That also is very interesting for people to read. Many intellectuals get caught like fishes are caught. They get caught in such books. Yeah. So when religious systems are not cut down, then people are going to hear such fellows and get misled in their life. Correct, no? So in this way, people will lose the ultimate goal of life. Instead of going back to Godhead, they will end up in hell. Correct? Yes?
Bro, this Jiggy Vasudev is there. He is like very famous now in the corporate world and all. So he speaks. So one person asked, does God exist? So he gave a story. One Ram Bhakt went after many, many years of practicing. One day he saw this Buddha enlightened. So he goes there and asks, does God exist? Then he says, no. So then all the audience and everybody village becomes celebrating. There is no God. Now the enlightened has given that. And in the evening, a Charvak person comes and asks the same question. Does God exist? So he gets a doubt, this Charvak person. I am 40 years, I am preaching no God, in case God exists. So he comes and asks, does God exist? He says, yes. So morning Buddha said, no. And evening he said, now everybody asks, what is this? He says, if you believe he is there, he is there. If you believe he is not, he is not there. So this is our actual answer. This is Jiggy Vasudev. He says that man has created God and God became more powerful. He gave example like we create computer and computer works better than us. So that's how the answer is. And many people they commented this is the most enlightened speech we ever heard.
Correct, yeah.
Lakhs and lakhs of views are there for this question. Does God exist? What Correct. Happens after death?
Correct.
So what after happens after that has some 12 lakh, 13 lakh views. And the answer he gave is, why? What happens after that? The question is good, but we should know what happens before death. When we are living, what is that is important. And then he was telling, how you know by the lives of these saintly people about Buddha or about Jesus or about some acharyas, how you know they know? How you know that they know whether they are speaking right or wrong? So he is just doing word jugglery and giving answers. But that actually inspired me to arrange the corporate programs. I thought this person is doing so much nonsense and is very famous in corporate. I decided we should do corporate programs after hearing this.
Correct. The philosophy which you said now, that is a Western philosophy, what he is repeating. One Western, see Western people there, like one Nietzsche said, God is dead, you know. Sometimes they wrote outside a church, God is dead. And then when Nietzsche died, one fellow wrote below that statement, Nietzsche is dead and hyphen God, he put, you know. So that is one philosophy. Nietzsche dead, God actually created the world and he died after that. If he is alive, then he must be here to control all the problems, like that he said. Another philosophy fellow said, theologian, he said God created this world, but the world became so complicated, he became afraid. How will I manage it? He ran away. And that's what he is saying. So all the Western theologians, all bogus philosophies, when Prabhupada went, there is one book called as, what is that? Beyond Illusion and Doubt, no? Beyond Illusion and Doubt, Prabhupada has given dialogues. You will see there are so many, Actually, one problem with Westerners is what? See, if an Indian gets a doubt, no, he'll go to Shastras. But a Westerner gets doubt, he will go into speculative brain. Therefore, they come up with this crew, you know, with so many philosophies they release from their heads. And Indian Swamiji may read the Western philosophies and repeat it. Correct, na? He may say, like, the, you know, the Zen Buddhism, and people talk, it looks very mystical in speech. So when you talk, okay, if you think God exists, yes, otherwise no. People think, you know, see, Swamiji, so he doesn't stick to any one strong thing. He's very liberal. He leaves everybody to whatever they want to accept. And people appreciate he's very liberal. So nowadays such liberal Swamis are very common. There are plenty. And also even devotees, who are upcoming devotees, they have a curiosity to know what different people are saying. There was one Nityananda in South, very famous one fellow. He had temples all over the world. But when he fell down with some cinema actors, actresses, at that time people went to break down his matha in many places, in India, abroad also. People said, what nonsense it is. And now whenever devotees are going on the road, Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, hey, people say Nityananda ka log. You know, it's only Jayapataka Maharaj was telling. People thought we are Nityananda's followers. Then we told them, this is not the recent Nityananda, this is 500 years ago Nityananda. And the most merciful Nityananda. He's not like the cheater Nityananda. So when Jayapataka Maharaj was telling in South India, when devotees are doing kirtan, people said, are you Nityananda followers? And they told, we are real original Nityananda, not the imitation Nityananda. Like Prabhupada is saying, we have original Rama and Krishna. We don't want imitation Ramakrishna, Prabhupada says. Why do you want imitation Ramakrishna? Imitation Ramakrishna has got a cancer in his throat. And he is suffering. And he is running after Kali worship. We have original Ramakrishna, his supreme lord, Prabhupada says in one of the lectures. We are not after imitation. Imitation Rama, imitation Krishna. We have the original lord. And that original Rama and Krishna, you know, they have a spiritual body. Why should we take a person with a perishable body? So his name was, Ramakrishna Paramahamsa's name was Gadadhar Chatterjee. Why should we accept Gadadhar Chatterjee as Rama and Krishna? Prabhupada is saying, we have original Rama and Krishna. So Prabhupada was very strong. You may think Prabhupada is heavy. Why is he heavy? Because Prabhupada said these two fellows have spoiled the whole. You know, he said. Therefore, wherever there is an imitation, because this fellow said at the time of leaving, I am the same Rama, I am the same Krishna, or something like that. Actually, many of the Swamis claim themselves to be God because they get so much popularity and following. They think, because I have so many followers, maybe I am God only. They don't know my body is a rotting body. And I am getting old. I have diseases in the body. Who am I? So Prabhupada said, as soon as one says I am God, he's dog. You know, Prabhupada would say. Isn't it? So that is the very first symptom that he is not a guru. He's a cheater. So therefore, as Radha Prabhupada was telling, there are so many people in the net presenting the bogus philosophies. They are like Indra's versions. Indra's multiple versions. Different versions. And most people are attracted to such sadhus simply on superficial looks. His Holiness Bhakti Yoga Swami said, when a sadhu has a long beard, people are attracted. But he said, sadhu means nowadays big mustache and long beard, at the end of which there is a hole which speaks all nonsense. And that he was telling. So, if we don't cut down irreligion, then irreligion will spread like wildfire. Tomorrow you will find, wherever you turn around, you will find irreligious activities going on. If Swamis are eating, they are starting a murgi mission. They are eating murgi and they are allowing murgi. Then everybody will be eating murgi. Everybody will be eating chicken. If we don't preach. Therefore, the truth should be loudly proclaimed. Prabhupada said, you know, let us use the radio. In Prabhupada's purport, he says, now radio sound, in Radio Mirchi, so many songs are going, cinema songs. Similarly, let Krishna's message go in the radio. Prabhupada says in one purport. So, our inspiration in knowing about Pakhandi Sannyasis is only one thing. We can understand how much we have to come out of our comfort zone to reach out the right message to the people. Which is very important. Okay, let's go to 27th verse. Tamrit beja shakra vadhabi sanditam. విచక్షదుష్ప్రేక్ష్యమసహ్యరంహసం నివారయామాసురహో మహామతే నయుజ్యతే త్రాణ్యవదః ప్రచోదితాత్. Translation.
When the priests and all the others saw Maharaj Prithu very angry and prepared to kill Indra, they requested him, O great soul, do not kill him, for only sacrificial animals can be killed in a sacrifice. Such are the directions given by Shastra.
See, who is Yajaman for this whole sacrifice? Prithu Maharaj. So Yajaman's hand should not become tainted with blood. Then the whole sacrifice will be spoiled. Correct, no? If somebody is hosting, say for example you are hosting a program, you know, hundreds of thousands of people have come, and somebody came, you spoke to them something insultingly, then the whole program becomes tainted with, you know, bad vibration. Correct, no? So everybody should be welcomed, everybody should be treated warmly and everything. So the Prithu, therefore those people in the position of leadership, they have to be very careful. Because, you know, the pastime of Shishupal in the Ratsuya Yajna, see, he knew that they will choose Krishna for the Agra Puja. And when they took Krishna to the elevated seat, they put him on the asan, they washed his feet, and then they showered flowers, garland and everything, and they praised him. After the whole Agra Puja was over, then Shishupal took up the dais. And then he wanted to criticize. Because he thought in the beginning only if I say something, and they stop the Agra Puja for Krishna, you know. Then the matter may be dismissed immediately and Krishna will not be sufficiently criticized by me. Now he allowed Krishna to come on the stage and Agra Puja was done. And then he took up and, you know, he said more than 100 blasphemies against Krishna. Continuously he spoke. So Shishupal's idea was what? That along with criticizing Krishna, the whole sacrifice should be spoiled. Yudhishthira Maharaj's sacrifice, which was meant to glorify Krishna as the Supreme, that should be spoiled. So, actually even rikshawalas do this, you will see. Say one rikshawala tells you, you ask him, kitna? He says, 60 rupiah, he says. Theka? So, you go to your particular place and he stops in one landmark where you said. And then you tell him, not here, little ahead, you know, from here to up to that, you go there. Then he will take it from here and there and say, now you give 100 rupees now. Because you told here, I brought you here, you said from here to there, so another 40 rupees you have to give. And if you don't give 100, what you will do? He will make big halawala, he will shout. Any of you can tell me why he shouts? To protect your image, because you will look around and see all people are watching me, I am a dignified man. And okay, take whatever he wants, okay, you want 100, take it, don't shout, take it and push off. You like that, you will give and go. Correct, no? So he purposefully, they yell very loudly. Because if they mildly ask, you will not give. So they want to create a scene there. Similarly, you find Shishupal, he wanted to create such a scene that the Ratsu Yajna will be spoiled. But Krishna was so intelligent, he took his chakra and cut his neck in such a way, even one drop of blood did not fall on the ground. Because if one drop of blood falls on the ground, the sacrifice gets polluted, no? Correct, no? Because murder took place in a marriage, it's like that, no? It looks very bad. So Krishna very smartly killed him in such a way. I don't know how he sent the chakra. It must have rotated around his neck in such a way that it cut off his head without making a blood drop. Can you imagine? Similarly, here also, the Brahmana said, you should not kill him. Because you are the Yajaman. The whole thing will be spoiled. Then all your efforts to, they will say that the Yajaman who is supposed to be compassionate to all the creatures, you know, he killed Indra and it will come in the newspaper. Prithu kills Indra, you know, in the sacrifice, 100th sacrifice. You know, your name will be tainted with blood. It's not very good. And the Brahmana said, we have an art by which without one drop of blood falling down, we can finish Indra. How? We will put one mantra chant. And then wherever Indra may be in the heaven, he may be hiding somewhere along with the horse. You know, he will be drawn into the fire. The fire will suck him inside. And that vidya we have with us. So don't worry. Like that they said. So 27 we read, no? Yeah. Read the purport of 27.
Animal killing is intended for different purposes. It tests the proper pronunciation of Vedic mantras, and an animal being put into the sacrificial fire should come out with a new life. No one should ever be killed in a sacrifice meant for the satisfaction of Lord Vishnu. How then could Indra be killed when he is actually worshipped in the yagya and accepted as part of...
Indra yaswaha idam namama. That is one of the mantras we chant while offering, into the fire. So he is supposed to be worshipped, then how can he be killed? Correct, no? That's what he is asking. Yes.
As part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the priest requested King Prithu not to kill him.
Read the theme.
Avoiding wrong decision making in situation of crisis.
Actually, whenever a crisis situation comes in our life, we can become blind. And we may act improperly, for which we may regret later. So therefore, one has to be very careful. You know the story of the man who went to forest, in a horse along with his dog, and he slept under a tree and he, he ate something for a while, and then he boarded the horse to leave, but the dog was barking back and forth, running, not allowing him to proceed further. And he thought that the dog has gone crazy. He took his gun and shot the dog. And then when he proceeded home, suddenly he realized his wallet was missing, which had a lot of money. So he returned back to the same tree, and he found his wallet and found the dog lying, touching the wallet. And in the dog's mouth there was blood because dog had died. Then he realized why the dog was barking. Why was the dog barking back and forth? He wanted to remind him, "Are you fool, you are leaving the wallet behind. You have forgotten it." So the dog wanted to remind him, but he misunderstood and he shot. And he took the wallet now and he looked at the horse and he cried, "Oh dog, poor dog, you tried to help me but I shot you. So I made a very hasty dash." So in our life also, we may make a hasty dash in making a swift decision sometimes, which may bring troubles in the long run. When there is a crisis. Here, what was the crisis here? Indra is repeatedly stealing the horse. And he is not allowing him to complete the yajna. Now, he has to control Indra also and do the yajna also. At the same time, Indra is repeatedly troubling also. Then what to do? He thought the easiest thing to do is to shoot down Indra. Finish him, correct, no? Once Indra is finished, yajna will go on. But will Vishnu be pleased? No. Similarly, you will see in a project, say for example, you want some devotee to fastly do something, So the goal of fastly doing something is that you will get some very wonderful result. Correct, no? You will get some very good result. But then in the course of making the devotee do things fast, you may be aggressive. Correct, no? So the work will be done, but the devotee's face will be small. He will become broken down because you might have used harshness or arrogance as a tool to get the work done fastly, swiftly. So what happens? Lord Vishnu is displeased because although you have brought the end result, but you have, you have hurt somebody very strongly. You understand my point, what I am saying? This can be easily said in our preaching. We have our inmates in our boys, student center, living together. And then there are new boys. Sometimes a new boy, you have to tell the inmate, go and call the new boys. And then tell them this, do that and bring them and all that. So sometimes we become very strong with the inmates in order to treat the newcomers very warmly. You understand this point? Say for example, once I was telling, when newcomers come, as soon as they come, there should be a cup of juice. When they come, if you give a cup of juice before the class, then they will come on time to the class. Because if they are 5 minutes late, juice is over. So they come on time. And after the class, you should give such a feast, they will never forget. They will want to come next time. And then see the mridangam, dob, you don't have a good mridangam, you should buy a new one and keep. See the mic, sound is coming and going in the mic. What kind of mic is this? What kind of dob, mridangam is this? You have made poha. Very simple, you should give a, especially new boys, you should give a very nice feast, and people have, simply you're calling the boys through SMS, nobody will come by SMS. Even if you call also, they won't come. You have to personally go and fetch them. So when you, these are all in, you know, feedback to the inmates. But the purpose of this feedback is what? Why are we giving all this feedback? So that we can serve the newcomers very nicely. So when this fellow implements all this, the newcomers, will they be happy or not? What do you think? They'll be very happy. But who will be sad? Inmate will be sad. Why inmate will be sad? How you say what you say. Repeat it.
You can say
the same thing with patience, you know, with tolerance, with sufficient amount of affection, but you can say the same thing in a very harsh and arrogant way, correct, no? So how many of you understand this point of hurting one party while pleasing another party? Is that very clear? Very clear, no? Yeah. So here also, what is happening? See, the theme I have written here, avoiding wrong decision making in situation of crisis. When crisis comes, we tend to commit mistakes. Because in crisis, we are blinded. We don't know what to do. One example I'll tell you. One time, one of the top managers, we went to Vrindavan Yatra. And then the last day when you are coming back, the manager wanted prasadam for some 80 devotees or something. So he told one smaller devotee, that Prabhu, please arrange for prasad. And this fellow called one caterer in Vrindavan locally. And the caterer said per plate, some 100 rupees or something. And 80 plates means how many? 8,000 rupees. So our devotee ordered it. But then the devotee in the evening asked him, hey, how much was the plate? He said, it's 100. He said, 100? It's too much. We are brahmacharis, you know, we don't have to spend so much. Even 50 rupees, we have to fit it in. He said, no, we can't fit in, sir. Okay, then we'll talk to Vrindavan temple and we take 50 rupees plate. So they arranged something else from that Vrindavan temple. They gave. And this fellow said, okay, Prabhu, we'll take from the temple. But this fellow forgot to tell that fellow that we don't want your 100 rupee plate. He didn't tell. So the train is now standing in Mathura station and all the 80 devotees boarded the train. And that fellow was waiting for the phone call and he has brought all the 80 packets of prasad for 100 devotees, I mean 80 devotees, 100 rupees plate prasad is brought. And then he is calling the devotee and the devotee is not lifting, he is afraid. My Lord, this fellow is calling. When he is seeing the number only, his hand is shaking. Because now he has understood. Now prasadam has come from two places. One from Vrindavan temple, one from this caterer. What to do? So it's a crisis now, correct? So what this fellow did, he switched off the mobile. Easiest thing to do in the world. And it's a crisis. Yeah. And that fellow, what he did, the previous day when this fellow was talking to him, he heard the word Pune. You know, Pune, hum log Pune ke brahmachari, like that he said. He's also some kind of devotee caterer. So then he called up Vrindavan temple and asked, Pune ke adhyaksh kaun hai? They said, Radhesham Das. Unka number chahiye. Then he got my number. And he called me. Aap hi adhyaksh na Pune ka hai. Dekhi, aapke logo ne bola, aise abhi tak liya nahi. You know, train kada hai, mere saamne hai kada hai train. Lekin log le nahi rahe, kya karna abhi? Then I called the top leader. And I told him, Prabhu, why you are all not taking? He said, no, Prabhuji, we have rejected that. We don't want, we have taken from Vrindavan temple. He said. Then I called this caterer and said, no, o log Vrindavan mandir se liya hai. They have already told you no. No, nobody told me no, he said. Then I got the whole picture. Then I called the leader and said, find out. Then he asked the subordinate. By the time the train had left already. Then I told this caterer, we are very sorry. Mistake is ours, not yours. Kitna karcha kiya? He said, 8,000 rupees. So you sell it in the station to anybody, a number of people. Whatever money you get, honestly tell me. Balance money I will give you, I said. So he tried selling, but the people stopped him there. The authorities, they said, you cannot sell food without being authorized hawker or something. They told him to go out. Then he tried going out. Then he went to his own hotel and tried to sell there. And then by evening, night, it started getting spoiled. So he got only about 3,000 from that. And then other things didn't get sold. They got rotten, they got spoiled. Then I told the leader that you have to give him 5,000 because we have made a promise. And some of them are saying, why to give? No, you have to keep the promise. You have given a promise. But why I am telling you, in crisis, we take an immoral route, which is the easiest route. It's a shortcut. We tend to take shortcut. You will see that. So, and what I am telling you is a very common example. Many people nowadays conveniently switch off the mobile whenever some very dangerous calls come. Because they made a promise, now they have to keep the promise. So, here also Prithu had a choice of making a wrong decision and killing Indra. See, we should remember, Indra is the leader of all the demigods. And he is very dear to Lord Vishnu. And he is doing a very important work of propagating Brahminical culture in the whole world. And he is protecting all the demigods also against the Asuras, when Asuras come. And certainly Indra must be a very intelligent person and a very good manager, and have made him a head also of the heavenly planets. His Indraloka is the topmost amongst the heavenly planets. So, such a person, if he is committing mistake, should he be shot? Is killing him the solution? Or is it appropriate solution? So, one should not act without superior permission and guidance. If Prithu wants to kill Indra, whom should he ask? At least Brahma. Because Brahma is above Indra. He can just give a phone call to Brahma and say, "Sir, this fellow is always taking my hearts. I just want to shoot him. I want your permission. You know, I just want to put a word to you before killing him." Will Brahma allow him? No. See, Brahma, how much Brahma is conscious of the whole administration in the world. Nobody told Brahma, Brahma came down. Isn't that amazing? How alert he is with management. In one corner of the universe, nothing wrong can happen. Here something wrong is about to happen, Brahma will come now, immediately. That means Brahma is highly responsible. He is not relaxing in an easy chair in Satyaloka. Very coolly. Main kya karo, ye log jhagda kar rahe hain, I can't solve it. Ye samajhte nahi hain. He is not saying, he is immediately, you know, springing into action. He is coming, immediately he is giving instruction. And Prithu also actually was about to kill him, and then when Brahmanas said, "Okay, I will not kill you, Brahmanas finish him." Then Brahmanas are about to chant the mantra in that verse, in 27th verse. So, you agree it is a crisis? It's a great crisis. Crisis for the life of Indra. See, previously, Gautama Rishi punished Indra by giving him thousands of eyes, Sahasralochan in the body. But he didn't kill him. Somehow or other, Indra escaped from different people. Vishwamitra, he created trouble, but he escaped. When Ramba went, she showered the Parijata flowers. Actually, Ramba was afraid to go to spoil the tapasya of Vishwamitra. She was telling, and then Indra said, "Don't worry, Ramba, you go. I will come in the form of a cuckoo," he said. "Cuckoo! I will make sound, and then he will open the eyes and see. And then you shower flowers." So he told Ramba, "I will be with you. Don't worry. In the same forest where you are." And then Ramba gathered the courage to go. But then when she showered the flowers, when Vishwamitra saw, Parijata flowers are very rare, once in 12 years they grow. How is it that somebody is showering so much flowers on me? And he was very pleased. Then he looked up, it was Ramba. Then he became angry. "You lady, previously I was cheated by Menaka. Now you have come, Ramba has come. You also will do my tapasya bhanga." Now he looked at her angrily. He said, "I curse you to become a stone." He said. And Indra as a cuckoo flew away back to Indraloka. Somehow Indra escaped in many other situations. In this situation, his life was under threat. You see? But we learn our lesson here. Whenever we are in crisis, we should always ask superiors. We should not make any independent decision of our own. When there is a crisis, we should not make a wrong decision. So here, the crisis was to punish somebody. And that too, a very big personality. Should be punished. Like you all know that pastime of Gopinath Patnaik, Badajan, he wanted to put him in Changa. Did he take permission from his father? You see? He wanted to kill him. So it was a serious matter. So fortunately, later on, father came and interfered and set right the situation. So in our life, any kind of crisis comes, it is beyond our head, and big people are involved. It is best that we consult before acting swiftly. One should not foolishly act swiftly and lament the loss later. Like for example, in quarrels also, one has to value, is my relationship with this devotee important, or proving to this devotee that I am right, that is important. See, for example, one of you is sitting here, you know you are right and he is wrong. But he is artificially claiming himself to be right. Now you can climb on his head and prove to him that you are right. And if you do that, our relationship will be broken. So now you have a choice out of these two, which one will be more weighty for you? Will you prove you are right or will you preserve the relationship? That is in our hands only. Correct, no? So we have to weigh all things before we take action. Let's go to the 28th one. Vayam marutvantam ihartanashanam vayamahe tvachravasahatatvisham ayatayamo pahavairanantaram prasahya rajan jugavamatehitam. Read it.
Dear King, Indra's powers are already reduced due to his attempt to impede the execution of your sacrifice. We shall call him by Vedic mantras, which were never before used, and certainly he will come. Thus, by the power of our mantra, we shall cast him into the fire, because he is your enemy.
Brahmanas are saying. So one point they are saying here, Indra's powers are already reduced due to his attempt to impede the execution of your sacrifice. Read the theme.
One's power is diminished by attacking great souls.
You will see, Indra offended Brihaspati and he lost all his opulences. He became weak. Correct, no? Similarly, Daksha attacked Shiva by insulting him and he got a goat head. Now he became weak also, you will see. Similarly, Chitraketu, you know, spoke some words which were decoded as insulting by Parvati and he got a asura's body. And you will see like that. So there are innumerable examples we could quote that by, like Krishna tells Pandavas that Duryodhana's power is already diminished by his making several plots to kill all of you. He is already overtaken by sinful reactions which are in his account, and the sinful reactions will make sure that he will suffer. Like that he is saying. Who? Krishna is telling Yudhishthira Maharaj. Similarly, here the Brahmanas told him, don't worry, Indra's power is already diminished because he is trying to attack you and insult you. And what he is doing is a corrupt activity. By doing a corrupt activity, one's power is diminished. Like that they are saying. So, this is some point very valuable for us to consider. In our dealings with different living entities in this world, we should never take a corrupt route. Corrupt route means we should not tell lies to prove our point, in order to justify our point. Or we should not harbor malice to unnecessarily harm other living entities. Because as soon as we do these things, our power becomes diminished. And that is a universal law. For example, if anybody praises themselves, you know, their punya is reduced, it is said. Their punya is cut down. Therefore, when Yayati went to heaven, Indra asked him, who are you? And Yayati said, you don't know who I am? And then he started praising himself, what all he did. As he more and more praised himself, he started gliding down to earth back again from heaven, because the punya got over already. Punya got exhausted. So, in this way, we have to know the universal laws. I should not praise myself. I should not harbor malice to attack somebody unnecessarily. And one should not, in our dealing with all the living entities, one should check whether my behavior is proper or corrupt. So you will find, when Lord Rama was told to go to forest for 14 years, did he attack Kaikeyi? Did he attack Mantra? Who attacked Mantra? Anybody knows? Shatrughna. Shatrughna caught hold of Mantra by her hair and brought her to the Sabha and put her in front of Bharat and said, Bharat, here is the culprit who poisoned your mother. Kill her immediately, he said. Bharat said, leave her away to go, he said. And Bharat said, if the Shastra say that a woman who commits such kinds of corrupt actions can be killed, I would have killed her long before. In fact, I would have finished even my mother also, he said, Kaikeyi, for her behavior towards Ram. But Shastra has entailed that a woman is unpunishable. So leave her behind. She cannot be killed, he says. So Shatrughna was so angry. Even Lakshman was so angry with Kaikeyi as well as Dasharatha also. Whereas Ram was not at all angry. It's a very amazing thing that Ram, how does he deal, how he deals with Kaikeyi respectfully and with Dasharatha very respectfully. So you will see that that's one symptom of a great soul. Yudhishthira Maharaj also, when he knew that they are being sent to Varanavat for being burned alive, when he came to know from Vidura, he still didn't criticize Dhritarashtra. He said, Dhritarashtra is my superior, is a Kuru elder. You know, we should not find fault with him. But then he told his brothers, we have to be careful. So they defended themselves, but they didn't offend anyone. You find Yudhishthira Maharaj like that. So actually, as soon as we are going to offend someone, we are preparing to diminish our power by doing that. Actually, we all have a right to defend ourselves, protect ourselves. But somebody may say, Prabhuji, in order to defend myself, I have to offend somebody. Otherwise, without that, I cannot prove that I am right. And therefore, you will find the internet is filled with so much of global gossip. You know, one fellow said this, and I can prove that he is wrong, and back and forth, so many letters are uploaded. And so in this world, we should try to live as peacefully as possible and execute devotional service. But Indra is trying to attack Prithu by stealing away his horse so that Prithu cannot excel him. And he is diminishing his power by doing so. Naturally, his tapavalam, everything will reduce by that. So sages said, don't worry. Shastra say that anyone who faithfully follows Guru Sadhu Shastra, they will get potent and very powerful. And those who adopt malpractices to become popular, to pull others' legs, those guys, it's only a matter of time such people will become weak. That is Shastric statement. And one should have faith in Shastra, isn't it? Yeah. Let us read the next one. 30. You read the translations, 30, 31. Sorry, 29, 30, 31. Read it.
My dear Vidura, after giving the king this advice, the priest who had been engaged in performing the sacrifice called for Indra, the king of heaven, in a mood of great anger. When they were just ready to put the oblation in the fire, Lord Brahma appeared on the scene and forbade them to start the sacrifice.
Yeah.
Lord Brahma addressed them thus.
It's almost 12:30 now. I had to conclude now. Till 1? Okay. Yes, read the 30th.
Lord Brahma addressed them thus. My dear sacrificial performance, you cannot kill Indra, the king of heaven. It is not your duty. You should know that Indra is as good as the supreme personality of Godhead. Indeed, he is one of the most powerful assistants of the personality of Godhead. You are trying to satisfy all the demigods by the performance of this yajna, but you should know that all these demigods are but parts and parcels of Indra, the king of heaven. How then can you kill him in this great sacrifice?
Actually, all are part and parcels of Vishnu only. But why is he saying that they are part and parcels of Indra? Because Indra is their leader. For example, any community you take, like any student center you take, or any Namahatta program you take, there is somebody who is prominent in that, correct, no? Like we have Jayadevpur Satyut Mataji's house program we have. Similarly, you go to Bosari, there is some program. In every program you will see there is somebody who is hosting the program, one who is leading the program, or counselor. In a counselor-counselee group, who is the prominent person? Counselor is there, correct, no? Similarly, amongst a group of disciples, the guru is a prominent person. You will see like that. Similarly, he is saying that Indra is actually a prominent person among demigods. So they are also connected to him. And then Indra and all the demigods, they are all part and parcel of the Supreme Lord also. And you are offering oblations, taking the name. How can you kill them? Like the Brahma is asking. So you read 31? Yeah.
In order to make trouble and impede the performance of King Prithu's great sacrifice, King Indra has adopted some means that in the future will destroy the clear path of religious life. I draw your attention to this fact. If you oppose him any further, he will further misuse his power and introduce many other irreligious systems.
Yeah. And Brahma is teaching a very important lesson here. What was Prithu's goal in doing this yajna? To please the Supreme Lord? and to bring about welfare for the world. And now Brahma is telling, in case Prithu kills Indra, will Supreme Lord be pleased? Will the will all the demigods be pleased? Because they will lose their boss, huh? They will lose their leader, and the demons will think, hey, now that the Indra is gone, attack now, huh? They may go to attack the heavenly planets, and the demons may take over. So demigods are unhappy, Supreme Lord Vishnu will be unhappy, huh? And will the sacrifice be successful by killing Indra? When Indra is killed, because Indra is also one of the beneficiaries, huh? So the sacrifice will become tainted with blood. So sacrifice will be unsuccessful also. And then will people get the benefits for the welfare of the public? That also won't happen. Everything will be spoiled. So therefore, we all in our lives also, whenever we do anything, we should see the long-term consequences. Actually, it is very easy to pounce upon somebody, attacking them to, you know, satisfy our false ego. But we have to see the long-term consequences. What will happen if I do this right now? Because one small move that you make now can produce a large disastrous effect in the long run. So therefore, Brahma is very intelligent. So Brahma is coming here and telling him, actually, you are about to kill this Indra, but you don't know. Actually, by doing this, you know, you will, the originally intended purpose of welfare for the world will not be accomplished, for which you are doing the sacrifice. And not only that, and the more you are trying to attack Indra in various ways, Indra will also always keep on hiding here, hiding there, and he will steal the horse, and he will take new sannyasis forms. Correct, no? He'll become more and more naughty. And then that will create innumerable religious systems in future, ruining the whole world. And Brahma is worried about it. Why? Because he wants to see all jivas going back home, back to Godhead. Correct, no? Through the Brahminical culture. And Indra is ruining the Brahminical culture now, because he has become vitiated now. So Brahma is telling him like this. So, so here one amazing thing you will see, Brahma's advice comes in the next few verses. Very beautiful advice and very meaningful advice. Let us read those. Read the theme. Here's a question. Give the mic to him.
If we see the character of Prithu Maharaj is very dedicated and surrendered to Lord orders.
Yeah.
And on the other side, we see the character of Indra is against all the good things. So why not Brahmaji counseling to Indra instead of...
I'll ask you a simple question. See, in a home, you ask any mother, say, there's a small kid, there's a bigger kid. And the small kid is playing with teddy bear, and a bigger kid has a... So the small kid goes to his elder brother and says, Baya, you give me tricycle, I'll give you teddy bear, he says. And Baya says, no problem, take my tricycle, give me a teddy bear. So this fellow will board the tricycle and keep teddy bear also with him. He will say, no, I will keep this also, I will go in tricycle along with my teddy bear. Then the elder brother will say, hey, you promised me that you will take mine and you will give yours. Why are you not giving? So he's snatching. When he's snatching, the small one will cry loudly. Amma, he will make a big sound. So mother will scold whom? Sure? Or younger one? Think about it. How many of you say that she will scold only the elder one? Correct. How many of you say she will scold the younger one? Anybody? Okay, you all agree. Now, out of the two, who is wrong?
Younger one.
Yeah. Then why is she scolding the elder one?
The elder one is mature enough.
For the same reason the advice is being given to Prithu Maharaj. Out of the two, here Indra and Prithu, who is younger one, who is elder one? Prithu is elder one. Indra is younger one. So, Indra is naughty and Prithu is very advanced in his behavior. So, in case the mother scolds the small kid and says, hey, you promised that you will give teddy bear, give now. She snatches it from his hands and gives it to elder brother. And that boy is going to cry like anything, and his love and faith in the mother also will be spoiled. Correct, no? That kid, small kid, the mother snatched from me and gave it to him. And then the big brother got the teddy bear, he'll give a slap to the younger brother. Tum nahi de raha tha, maane nikal kar de diya. And he will also give one more. If mother can snatch, I can beat. Correct, na? Correct, na? And that boy will cry even more. If father is in another room, he comes and gives another slap. Hey, don't shout. And the home will become Kurukshetra. Correct, na? So do you think there can be peace in such a home? Therefore, any mother you ask in this world, they know very well. Small kids are always naughty. Huh? So they are tolerate. And they tell the elder brother, hey, you behave maturely. They say like that. Here also you'll find Indra. See, Indra somehow or other made sure that Prithu cannot complete 100 sacrifices. Only he will be Shatakratu. Huh? But then Indra is stuck up in the material world while Prithu ascends to spiritual regions. You know, he goes to spiritual sky because he got promotion back home, back to Godhead. And Indra is happy in his continuing his same old business of, you know, enjoying in the heaven and saving his post. And is it a very great situation for Indra? It's a foolish situation. He's stuck in the material post. And he is repeatedly suffering from insecurity when different sages and saints become powerful in their tapasya. Whereas Prithu went back to Godhead. So if you actually see who got better out of the two, Prithu Maharaj got better. But Prithu Maharaj was intelligent and having a superior intelligence. Therefore Brahma is convincing him. Read one more.
Let there be only 99 sacrificial performances for Maharaj Prithu, Lord Brahma concluded. Lord Brahma then turned towards Maharaj Prithu and informed him that since he was thoroughly aware of the path of liberation, what was the use in performing more sacrifices?
Here one logic he is giving. Do you want to complete 100 sacrifices and become a Shatakratu and become a competitor, you know, standing in a political position as opposed to Indra? He's asking Prithu, do you want to go to heaven and become this thing? That is not your competition. You want to go back to Godhead. Then why to compete with him? Correct. Now, like that he's asking. So it's a very brilliant question. Indra is worried that Prithu may take away my post. But Prithu's aspiration is not to hold on to Indra's post. But he wants to go to spiritual world. So when Parikshit Maharaj was sitting in the bank of Ganges and hearing Katha, on the seventh day, when the Takshaka would bite and then Parikshit would leave the body and go. So at that time, demigod showered flowers. And Prabhupada writes there, why demigod showered flowers? Two reasons Prabhupada says. Anyone who is a pure devotee of the Lord is very pleasing to the heart of the demigods. So they wanted to congratulate him for having heard Srimad Bhagavatam and everything. Another reason Prabhupada says, demigod showered flowers because they had no enmity with Parikshit. Because he was not competing for their position. He was going back to Godhead, so they had no enmity. They were saying, Tata, you can go back, no problem. You go back to Godhead and be happy, and we will be remaining in our Swargalokas. But on the other hand, if somebody is doing Jyotishtoma sacrifices, you know, especially aiming at heaven, and is trying to complete 100 yajnas, demigods would give a lot of trouble. Because they know this fellow is directly aiming at heavenly planet. And he is also doing exactly 100 sacrifices. So he will become our competitor. Then they will be worried. Correct, no? So therefore, as Prabhupada said, if devotees have material desires in their heart, then they unnecessarily invite the enmity of the demigods. Prabhupada says in one place. Because if demigods say, this fellow has material desire, I have material desire. So he is my competitor. Therefore, we have to give up our material desires and have Shuddha Bhakti. Anya Abhilashita Shunyam. Therefore, Brahma is giving a beautiful advice. And Brahma is telling him, actually, you have done 99 yajnas and he has done 100. But understand, if you follow what I am saying, you will get 99 yajnas plus blessings of Lord Vishnu, you know, blessings and happiness of the demigods, and you will get Vishnu's darshan. So 99 plus all these things put together is far above 100. Whereas that fellow has only 100 yajnas. Like that Brahma is preaching to him. Now go ahead. Read the next one, 33.
Lord Brahma continued, let there be good fortune to both of you. for you and King Indra are both part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, you should not be angry with King Indra, who is non-different from you.
Yeah. So before we go to the themes, read the theme here. There are two more themes, 10 and 11.
Avoid bringing worst out of insecure people.
If somebody is insecure, it's very difficult to handle case. But we should not bring worst out of them. For example, Suruchi brought worst out of Dhruva, you see. Because she spoke so harshly with Dhruva that the bad side of Dhruva came out. He became upset, angry, he cried, he went to his mother. His eyes became bloodshot and body was trembling, lips were quivering, tears were coming from his eyes. So she brought worst out of Dhruva. And Narada Muni brought best out of Dhruva, you see. Now Ramachandra Khan brought worst out of the prostitute by sending her to spoil the character of Haridas Thakur. Whereas Haridas Thakur brought best out of the prostitute by making her a first class pure devotee of Krishna. That means prostitute is same only. But one brought out the worst from her, she agreed to go and pull the leg of Haridas Thakur, correct, no? So he was bringing, Ramachandra Khan brought worst out of the prostitute, whereas Haridas Thakur brought best out of her. Now American culture brought worst out of the hippies. That they were smoking, drinking, doing all dirty things. And Prabhupada went there and brought best out of the hippies and made them all Hare Krishna devotees, you see. So this is one thing my spiritual master used to often tell me whenever I used to go to meet him. So he used to say one interesting phenomenon which came as a big shock to me, which I never knew before. Once in one of the discussions he said, and then later on I have heard him repeat this point. What he would say, if you say that somebody is misbehaving with you or somebody is insulting way or disrespectful way they are dealing with you, that means you should tell yourself that you have brought the worst out of them. Don't blame them, blame ourselves only, he says. And he said, you have the right to bring the best out of them. For that, you should behave in a certain way that will make them bring the best out of their personality. You all agree that every personality has best and worst both in them? Correct, no? For example, somebody is giving a gali to somebody, then that fellow also gives gali back. Correct, no? So he brought gali out of his mouth. Correct, no? Bad out of his mouth. On the other hand, you praise someone, you know, like we say, the principle of life is a mirror. If you praise them, then they also praise. If you respect them, they also respect. So Maharaj used to say that, even if somebody has anarthas and all, even from a person ridden with anarthas, we can bring the best out of them. It's possible. It depends on how one should... just like sometimes in a chula furnace, you know, the fire is almost extinguished. Very little is there. But you can take a blower and you can blow it and make it big. Similarly, you have to see the spark in people and bring out. See, later on, Lord Vishnu brought Indra with him. Do you know that? And Indra at that time had become extremely humble. You know, he was falling at the feet of Prithu and touching his feet. Sorry, sir, I was taking away your horse. And he had become very humble. That means Vishnu brought best out of Indra, correct, no? Earlier was Indra humble. He was stealing away the horse and corrupt. Now the very same Indra is coming with Vishnu and bowing down. And you will find the Lord is capable of bringing the best out of everybody. You all know this, four Kumaras came to the gate of Vaikuntha. At that time, Jaya Vijay became angry. Pratikula Shilav, Bhagavat Pratikula Shilav, it is said. And Kumaras became angry and cursed. But when Vishnu arrived there, he brought the best out of both of them. Correct, no? Which we studied elaborately before. So how many of you agree Vishnu brought the best out of both parties? Correct, no? It's very amazing it is, Actually, the way Jaya Vijay looked with discontented nostrils and Raktekshana and Bruva Kutileya, like that they were moving their eyebrows and stout nose and bloodshot eyes. By their sight only they incited anger in whom? Four Kumaras. And four Kumaras also wanted to sneak into Vaikuntha and they were not allowed. Both parties were angry with one another. But when Krishna, I mean Lord Vishnu came, completely the whole scene changed there. It was like river of honey flowing there. They became extremely humble. Both parties became humble completely by the presence of Vishnu. So, this is the point here. Avoid bringing worst out of insecure people. Actually, insecure creatures, insecure people are always fearful, and sometimes they like, for example, the insecure wives of Chitraketu, they killed the child, Harshashoka, so that Kritajyoti will not get attention of King Chitraketu. So what Chitraketu should have done, after Kritajyoti got the son, Harshashoka, what Chitraketu must have done, he should have given her attention privately. But in public, what he should have done? He should have given, if you are in Chitraketu's position, what you will do? All other wives are insecure now. They are all having a meeting to kill the child. What you will do? You don't know? If you are Chitraketu, give attention to them, correct? And in front of them, don't show extra affection to Kritajyoti. Then they will not have a problem. But poor Chitraketu did not know that psychology. He was going around with Kritajyoti everywhere. This is the wife who could get one son for me at last. And all the other wives are useless. You know, see, therefore sometimes, you know, one time in one birthday festival, I was appreciating one brahmachari little more. And when that brahmachari heard, he was very happy. But one another brahmachari wrote a mail to me saying that, Prabhu, I think when you are glorifying him, I think you are thinking that I am not having those qualities, correct? He asked. I said, I don't even, I never thought of you. I only glorified him. No, indirectly you are hinting me, you know, Prabhu. I said, you are 200 fellows sitting, I don't know what is going on in whose minds. Sometimes you give little extra attention to somebody. In those days, Premanidhi Prabhu, Gaurasundar Prabhu used to be there in Pune. I used to put my two hands in their shoulders and walk back and forth, you know. So, and talk about youth preaching and everything, how to expand. So one brahmachari saw this and became very insecure. Later on, he went to another temple, brahmachari. And after going to the temple, wrote a mail to me, Prabhuji, I was always thinking, when will Prabhuji put his hands on my shoulder? You know? These two fellows have occupied both his hands. Now Prabhuji doesn't have two more hands. So I went to another temple, he said. So there are many fellows feeling insecure. So therefore, I have seen my spiritual master, what he will do, he will go to the people who don't get attention and give them attention. Like, you know, wherever he goes, he'll go to the kitchen and see the cooks, you know. And he'll go to the chapel stand and see those fellows. Because they are people whom others may not glorify so much. On the other hand, there are people who go to the stage and receive awards, receive garland and click photo with the Guruji. And then after the program, they may be waiting to meet Guruji. Guruji will leave them and go to another place. He will go to the kitchen. He will go. Why? Because he knows very well. Already these fellows got super attention on the dais. You know, click, 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 so many, you know, cameras are clicking. Now why to give them more attention? And apart from Guru glorifying them, many others also pamper them a lot. So he will leave them, he will not pamper them. In fact, he will pull their leg also in the lecture. Gaurang Prabhu used to say, people come out of IITs and they think they are very intelligent. And Gaurang Prabhu look at me, they go, kya bol rahe hain abhi? You know? So, it is said, Krishna also, what he does, he uplifts the downtrodden and pulls down the puffed up. Somebody is puffed up, you pull him down. Somebody is feeling very lowly, you uplift him. So that both will be on equal level. Correct, no? But generally what we do in this world, we do the mistake. What we do? We uplift the uplifted already. Somebody is here, we puff them up so much, they go there. And they'll become more arrogant. Correct, no? On the other hand, somebody is down, you tell them, good for nothing, you don't do anything. And they go even more down. And there is an inequality, big inequality. You understand the point, no? Therefore, to bring out the best out of insecure people, they have to be encouraged. And they have to be given attention. And they should not be neglected. That is the point here. And we have to, as soon as I find somebody in whom I see that he has some problem, nowadays, I first thing I sit alone and think, what is the best aspect of this devotee, which is not yet manifested? What can I do to bring the best out of this devotee? It's very easy to point finger on the worst side of anyone, you know. But how to bring best out of people? Yeah, the next heading, you ready? Agreeing? No, yeah.
Agreeing to the decision of a superior who can see long-term welfare.
That is very great quality in Prithu Maharaj. He is agreeing to the decision of Brahma, who is a superior. Because Brahma is able to see a larger picture, which Prithu Maharaj may not be able to see from his vantage point. Because you will see that, you know, see, Brahma has two concerns, that Prithu's excellence and fame also should increase. It's not that Brahma wants to diminish it. Brahma also wants to see Prithu becoming excellent and famous also. And he also wants to see the world achieving welfare. At the same time, he wants to see that Indra is protected, he is saved, because he is the leader of the demigods and his life is necessary for him to continue his duty. So, therefore, you will find that Prithu Maharaj, even though he may not be able to see from his point of view at that point of time, because Indra was envious, Prithu was angry. In angry mood, sometimes we may not be able to see the truth. But if a superior says it, we can blindly follow the superior, because we should think that my superior knows better than me. I may be driven by false ego, but for my superior's happiness, I will just agree what he says. Okay, he says, let there be only 99 yajnas for you. I will just follow it. Let there not be 100 yajnas. I will not do it. So Prithu agreed. That goes to show the Prithu's exalted quality. Can you give example in Shastra where a superior told some subordinate and the subordinate did not agree? And the subordinate went on with his own independent mentality, which he could not give up. Due to which some damages happened. Duryodhana is a first-class example for that. Daksha also. Actually, Daksha was told by all the people in Sabha, please don't leave the Sabha. Stay, cool down, cool down, cool down. And then now enough of your anger, cool down. And then stay in the Sabha and complete the yajna. But he didn't complete, he was not ready. He walked out of the Sabha. He didn't hear the good advice of the sages and saints. And the Duryodhana also, in Mahabharata if you read, no? Narada comes, Markandeya Rishi comes, so many Rishis, Dhaumya Rishi comes, Sudharma Rishi, so many people are coming. And if you see in the court of Kauravas, maximum association must have been there. All the, even other Bhishma and Drona, they are all enjoying. And Mahabharata is full of wisdom, you will read, many, many places. And each of these Rishis come and give, but nothing enters the head of Duryodhana. It's like piercing a needle into a mild steel plate, You cannot pierce it. Whereas Yudhishthira's mind was like a banana. You can easily pierce a needle in it. You see? Duryodhana was incorrigible. He could not take. So he was not willing to. He thought the superiors are all foolish. He thought he is more smarter. And he always went for material calculation, not spiritual calculation. You see? And the 33, you read it? Again?
Lord Brahma continued, let there be good fortune to both of you, for you and King Indra are both part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, you should not be angry with King Indra, who is non-different from you.
What is the meaning of non-different from you? You are a soul and Indra is a soul, and you both are one in quality actually. And you both are brothers, because Lord is a father. Aham bija pradha pita. And you both are like sons of the Lord. If you two sons fight and you two are very big, Indra is king of all the demigods and you are king of the earth. And not only king of earth, you are very glorious king. And if all the praja is watching this, it can lead to a universal disaster, this kind of behavior. So Brahma is seeing a larger picture, larger good. So Brahma is thinking, even if Prithu completes 100 yajnas, he is not going to compete with Indra to go to heaven. Then at the same time, his completing 100 yajnas makes Indra insecure. Chalo, let Indra be a Shatakrutu. So in this way, Brahma is able to see a larger picture. See here, the theme you read, 12th theme.
See larger picture by giving a false ego.
See, we can see a smaller picture, we can see a larger picture. So what is smaller picture? in deciding any issue, you know, there is a saying in English, penny wise, pounds foolish, you say. Like sometimes in a shop, when you go, they take sometimes this shangdana or some kind of kurumara or something, they will give you, in the hand they will give like this. Thoda kakar deke, like that they will give. You have seen that? Now somebody may say, if you go on giving everybody little freely, are tumhara bondi ho jayega tum, you will become bondi, people may say like that. But why does he give? Because he sees a larger picture. What the larger picture is this? When you taste little bit, then you are likely to purchase. Like in train also, you will find somebody is cutting and giving guava or other fruits. They give one piece to you, correct, no? Eat it. And then when you taste it and say, oh, it's very nice, then you may buy some, you know, 1 kilo, 2 kilos of fruit you may buy. So Prabhupada used to say, throw little money and get big money. Prabhupada used to say that. So in this way you will find, in business means what? Throw little money and get a very big money back, correct, no? So the throwing little money may be seen as a loss. It's not a loss, it's an investment. Similarly, the bigger picture a person who is able to see, he will not mind giving away some piece of eatable to somebody, because he is seeing a larger picture. Some people may eat and go away also. They may say, "Acha, bahut acha, lekin abhi nahi chahiye." They may go away. But his loss is not much, because he is only giving little. But his overall sale is very good. Correct, no? So in the same manner, for example, I am printing a book. If I keep the profit margin high, say for example, I am printing a book, and when I keep the profit margin high, the number of books sold per year is only 100, for example. But if I keep the profit margin less, the number of books sold is 1,000. So out of the two, which is the larger picture? Second one. Why? Because I made a calculation, by keeping smaller margin, more books also go out and more profits also comes. How? Because number of, for example, in a bigger margin, you are getting, say, 100 books you sold and you got per book 5 rupees. So you got how much? 500 rupees you got. In smaller book, you keep 1 rupee profit and you sold how many books? 1,000 books. 1,000 into 1, how much? So which profit is more? So in second, profit is also more and number of books reachability is also more. So this is called seeing a larger picture. You understand, no? So people who generally may say, no, they are selling books so costly, so they may say like that. But they may not see a larger picture. Now in the same manner, in dealing with issues also, sometimes, for example, say you want to sort out a problem. One devotee has, you know, a particular problem. The easiest thing to do is to remove him from the post. Say we have a center, some devotee said something, did something, and then you want to remove him. So it's very easy to remove, but then if nobody is there to replace the post, everything falls apart. Correct, no? So one has to think, what act is serious enough for a person to be removed? What act is not that serious to be removed? Correct, no? Because when people sometimes become angry, they may say words which should not be spoken. They may sometimes do things which should not be done. But even you will see, before writing will, they say Indian government law court has a law that if somebody is drunk, they cannot write will. You know that? Similarly, emotionally spoken words should not be taken as literal words. So these things are there in the law also. Similarly, when somebody, for example, you see in a center particular devotee, you know, scolded somebody or said something, or he committed some mistake. Say for example, one devotee is a leader, you made him leader somewhere. Suddenly from the voice some chore came and 50,000 rupees is lost. So he is the PM, he was careless, so you can remove him from the post, correct, no? Or you may keep him because the service will go on, correct, no? So what is the larger picture means what? You don't take any action without seeing the large scale consequences. That is called larger picture. One another example my spiritual master said comes to my mind now. One Prabhupada disciple, Mataji, had a heart problem. So when she went to doctor checked, 3-4 doctors checked her heart and said, you need a bypass surgery. But not do it, they said. And she was very surprised. Why? You know, all the doctors say that I need a bypass surgery, but they are not ready to do. So they are saying it was a very delicate situation, they were saying. And they didn't say why. And later on, one of the devotee doctors, he said that, see, your kidney is very weak. If we do bypass surgery, while surgery is going on only, you will die if you do it. But if you don't do bypass surgery, you may live for 3-4 years. And kidney will be weak, and gradually kidney will also fail, heart will fail, and you will die in 3-4 years. But if you do surgery right now, you will die right now only. Therefore, they told her, now she understood why. Then she went to Vrindavan and settled in Vrindavan. 3-4 years he was peacefully practicing spiritual life, reading, chanting, hearing, distributing books, everything. One day while doing Mangalarti only, she left the body. The temple hall, peacefully, almost 4 years later. So, my spiritual master was telling this example. He said, in the same manner, if you do one thing to a devotee, something else will get affected. Because things are all connected in the community. When you do. So therefore you are telling only great souls can see a larger picture. Other people will see only smaller picture. Actually, I have many more examples I can give, brahmachari examples, but it won't be relevant to all. But how many of you are able to somewhat appreciate what is the meaning of seeing a larger picture? You're appreciating this? Yeah. Don't see, like for example, putting our this fellow in Changa, what is his name? Gopinath Patnai. So Badajan was seeing a smaller picture or a larger picture? Smaller picture. But Vaishnavas, they saw a larger or small? They said if Gopinath Patnaik is put in Changa, he is one of the 5 sons of Babananda Rai. He is Ramananda Rai's brother. Gopinath Patnaik is a very good family. And that entire family is very dear to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Unnecessarily, he will be killed in the Changa. And then whole family will be disturbed. Very unfortunate. If there is a mistake in him, it can be rectified rather than he be killed. So Prabhupada always used to say, you know, don't remove people, try to reform people. But there are certain cases where Prabhupada also removed certain people if the situation is very acute. Otherwise, the larger picture means as much as we can reform people and keep them continuing with us, we want to continue. That's the point. So now let us stop with this. Srila Prabhupada ki, Antarachimad Bhagavatam ki, Jaya.